The blessings of love and respect we offer to all, in times past and present, who have opened the doors of wisdom, reuniting all beings with their intrinsic purity. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. The recitation of this rosary ever expands the awakening of faith in the three jewels, Bodhi, Dharma, and Sangha. Bodhi Saranam Gacchami, Dutyampi Tatyampi Sabaha. I turn to the perfect nature of truth for guidance. Again and yet again, may it be so. Dharmam Saranam Gacchami, Dutyampi Tatyampi Sabaha. I turn to the teachings for guidance. Again and yet again, may it be so. Sangam Saranam Gacchami, Dutyampi Tatyampi Sabaha. I turn to the holy order for guidance. Again and yet again, may it be so. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Dukkha, the noble truth of suffering. Dukkha Samudaya, the noble truth of the origin of suffering. Dukkha Nirodha, the noble truth of the extinction of suffering. Dukkha Nirodha Gamini Patipada, the noble truth of the path that leads to the extinction of suffering. So long as these four noble truths are not understood, we shall wander in sorrow and ignorance. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. All formations are transient, anicca. All formations are subject to suffering, dukkha. All things are without a self, anatta. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Namo Prajna Paramita Hridaya. Homage to the wisdom in the heart. Form is not different from emptiness. Emptiness is not different from form. This is the teaching of our spiritual ancestors, Gautama Buddha, and all the great teachers who have transmitted the Dharma to this holy day. Blessed is the knowledge of emptiness. Homage to the devotees of this and all paths of self-purification. May all find simplicity, the joyous and practical guide. The Dharma, being the contents of enlightenment, in which there is no bondage and no suffering, offers freedom from the cankers of ignorance and fear. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Sangha is the holy order of spiritual ancestors, monks, priests, and all those who follow and practice this path. Homage to the Sangha. Homage to all who are approaching this holy path. Homage to all who follow and establish this holy path. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. By compassionate comprehension that dissipates delusion, by compassionate aspiration that harms no one, by compassionate speech that makes for clarity, by compassionate self-discipline that brings no regret, by compassionate livelihood that brings no discredit, by compassionate endeavor that results in goodness, by compassionate mindfulness that proves this path, by compassionate awareness that leads to nirvana. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. With this recitation, I do confirm my acceptance of these three pure precepts, the precept of restraint and religious observances, the precept of obedience to all good laws, the precept to benefit all sentient beings. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. With this recitation, I do confirm my acceptance of these 10 grave prohibitive precepts: not to lead a harmful life, nor to encourage others to do so, not to take that which is not given, not to commit or participate in unchaste conduct, not to tell lies nor practice believing the fantasies of authority, not to use intoxicating drinks or narcotics, nor assist others to do so, not to publish other people's faults, not to extol oneself and slander others, not to be avaricious in bestowal of the teachings, not to be angry, not to speak ill of this religion or any other. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. In the practice of loving kindness, in the practice of pure attention, in the practice of ever-expanding faith, practice of constant devotion, in the practice of inquiry through correct dhyana, in this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. O happy blessed day, O happy blessed place, O happy blessed time, O happy blessed path, O happy blessed opportunity. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Here, in humble submission, in order to experience this most perfect now, I deeply vow and sacrifice all thoughts, all tensions, all pressures, and desires. I am born of karma. I am heir to karma. I abide in karma, and I am supported by karma. Whatever I do creates karma, and I shall surely experience this karma. For all good acts I do freely offer to all beings, dutyampi tatyampi sabha, again and yet again may it be so. Willingness is the name of the key to the gate of awakening, for even to awaken from deep sleep and face the new day, there must be the willingness to do it. Here in my hand is the opportunity, and the way is clear beyond the gate of thought and desire. There is no self and other, as the awareness of pure, undisturbed consciousness slips into all consciousness. We are here to end suffering. If ending suffering is more important than anything, we will end suffering. If ending suffering is not more important than anything, we will not end suffering. If I am suffering, it is because I am choosing something over ending suffering. We are not here to create and cling to beliefs. We are here to pay attention. We are here to use everything in our experience to see how we cause ourselves to suffer, so we can drop that and end suffering.
What shall we look at this morning? Jen?
I had kind of one of those really pretty obvious but helpful connections this morning, where with some frequency, when there's a period of time that's not scheduled, there's a process of, oh my gosh, there's so much, you know, what, you know. And I was just remembering this morning that the very first process that I caught on to when I started practicing, because I was in the camp of, what do you mean how you do anything is how you do everything? That, you know, that doesn't make any sense at all. But I realized, I remember it with great delight at seeing the process that, wow, in so many areas of my life, I do this process of how can I get the most out of?
How can I get the most out of?
So anywhere from like, who am I going to talk to at a cocktail party, to like, what graduate school am I going to go to, you know, what am I going to study, to like, which jacket am I going to buy, you know, God, just the right.
It's got to be the right
because thing. There's some like maximum benefit or something that I can get. And so, so I can get really tortured by that. I mean, conditioning can really, really torture me with that. So there's a period of time in front of me where I get to make choices. You know, I mean, almost every word in that sentence has to be in quotes. And it's this, it can be paralyzing.
Yes.
And what just clicked this morning, it's funny to say it, but it's because it seems so obvious, but it was really helpful, was, oh, that's just because I is there. That's all that's happening, because it doesn't always happen. You know, there are other times where it just feels like, there's this, and then there's this, and it's all fun, and it's all great, or it just all is whatever it is, and there's just the next thing, and like that. But that, because really, wow, I have this period of time unscheduled, there's so many great things to do, how could that be suffering? Uh-huh. Well, the way it's suffering is that there's an I who comes in to claim it, to want, ostensibly to want something,
right,
which of course it doesn't. It just creates that sense of wanting so that I will suffer.
So just seeing this morning how when that process comes up of, oh my gosh, there's so many possibilities, and what's the best choice I can make, you know, where am I going to get the best return for my dollar,
exactly,
sort of thing. Is it's kind of a clue,
yeah,
to look and see if there's an I present.
Yeah, and that was very helpful what you just said. How can I get the return on my dollar? Because I reconnected with what the original insight was that's crazy. Like, what do you mean? Who's this I who's going to get something?
Yeah.
What is that?
Yeah.
You know, this So instead of just life unfolding in this, my gosh, I'm alive and I'm breathing and there's sunshine and there's, it's like, but what am I going to get?
Yeah.
Everything is a commodity.
Right.
Everything is an object to be consumed.
Right. And as you're saying that too, it's like even when the thing comes up of, quote, unscheduled time.
Yeah.
You know, it has to be an eye that kind of interprets that too.
Right.
You know, because actually it's just all
time.
It's back to all just space.
We wake up in the morning, we do a bunch of stuff, and we go to bed at night.
Right.
So
exactly.
What's that? There's this unscheduled, like, what is that?
Right, but some I thinks, oh goody, that means this, and then...
You know what, oh goody, that means we can make her suffer. That's what it is.
Yeah.
You know, that's all it is.
Yeah.
And I think that was also really helpful, because that's a key kind of sort of pitfall, if you will, is to make some difference between quote scheduled and quote unscheduled.
Yeah.
It isn't different. It's life to be present to.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. And there's just there's the key right there. And more suffering is like, you know, what kind of time is this? Is this?
It's back to the, is this my time?
Is my time?
Or is this your time that you're taking from me? You know, over here I'm going to serve and give you my time.
Uh-huh.
And over here I get to have my time.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. And it's that, again, it's that separation. There's somebody out there that's dictating that.
And that fundamental thing that, I mean, Sherry's been pointing at it forever, but it feels like such a helpful focus on it this year, is the fundamental thing in that is the misidentification of, I am that I who has my time or doesn't have my time.
Yeah.
And of course, that's not at all true. That's it. And I'm on the sort of, what's the word? I'm on the not helpful end of that just as much as anyone else or anything else in that equation. So there's I saying, well, gosh, this is my time, and but that doesn't benefit the being
at
all.
Exactly.
Yeah.
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 There's no benefit for the being.
No benefit
in
for the being
at all.
Yeah.
The being is just one with life, and wants it all.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. Whatever's here, good.
Right.
That's what I want.
That's what the being wants.
Yeah.
So interesting. I was thinking about some of the comments I was making Thursday night about time, my relationship with time.
Mm-hmm.
And when I was hearing that, and what I've been seeing in terms of that is that it's not just that, for me, it's not, if there was just an I that was comfortable, it would be a different experience, I project, but it's that the I is threatened, you know? That the I is always threatened with deprivation, or there not being enough, that it's an I that's in opposition to the way the world really works, and so it has to work for its own survival.
Uh-huh.
And that, to me, there's that quality about it that makes the struggle and continuation of the I seem really important. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I equals struggle.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's always in struggle with life and you know, how it can survive and what it needs to do to survive. It's not a very relaxing stance.
No, and everything is against it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So time is against it, and space is against it, and all activities are against it, and God knows all other people are against it. And God is against it,
and
actually.
God's against it.
And so I just saw how all that outward, quote, outward pressure keeps the focus on the I. Because the I has just worked so hard, and that's probably why conditioning works so hard, to maintain itself in the face of what is perceived as a kind of negating or oppositional pressure outside of it all the time.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It has to work so hard to maintain itself in the face of this oppositional pressure, what it perceives as oppositional pressure, which we all know actually isn't.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't actually exist, but how it's always interpreting this oppositional pressure, and it has to work. It's just that image of the resistance mm-hmm. again, you know, that pushing against something all the time to yeah. in order to make the I a reality.
Yeah, and just how, I mean, it just gets clearer and clearer how the only way out is to step out, you know, mm-hmm. that there is no solution within that I, mm-hmm. because that's the I's world.
There's no solution within that experience.
Mm-hmm.
It's necessary to step outside of it for freedom. It's never going to occur as long as it's in that state of preserving the I.
I just wanted to, I came in fresh from a realization about, that came out of the phone call I was just on, and it actually fits this one, what I'm just seeing in this too is, so I was a facilitator this morning on a phone call, mm-hmm. and I was aware that when I remembered that I was the facilitator, a little before the call, there was a kind of heightened energy around that. And then, you know, and that's really all it was heightened energy. But then conditioning wanted that to be anxiety or concern about, I had a lot of messages about what that meant and what I wasn't going to be able to do and that kind of thing. I pretty much didn't go with it. And then during the call, I was aware of it sort of, somebody on the call referred to like how it throws little darts and arrows in, you know, and that was a good model of how it sort of throws in a little dart about, well, you didn't really reflect that very well, or, you know, you're not going to be able to remember this, or, and I just sort of just facilitated the call. When I got off the call, this voice in my head said, well, we got through that. And it was just so interesting. What I saw was two things. What I was seeing in terms of what I was talking about, it was an invitation back into that oppositional view.
Yes.
That, first of all, the heightened energy, it wanted to use that to be discomfort rather than just yes. heightened energy. Mm-hmm. And then it wanted to invite me into identifying with it as having just survived something, the two of us together, mm-hmm. having just survived something, mm-hmm. That in fact my experience of it was not just surviving at all. But if it pulled me back into that place, then my definition of what had just happened would have been absolutely, I got through this thing that was against me.
Yeah, that sounds like that's a great example of how it has to work constantly. To keep us in that focus of a separate eye.
Mm-hmm.
Just there all the time, throwing mm-hmm. those little darts, you know, constantly convincing us that we're aligned with it,
mm-hmm.
that the two of us, mm-hmm. well, get through this together.
Yeah, and not only what I was just seeing that's so seductive is not just the voice saying, wow, we just got through this, we just got made it through, whatever it said, but the use of the energy, you mm-hmm. know, the interpretation of the energy, which is sort of below the level of voice.
Yeah.
If it can give its interpretation of that energy, it really can get me.
So it can take a sensation in the body and an energy and give us a lot of information about what that means, mm-hmm. and that's often a hook.
Yeah.
For
it makes me susceptible to the voice, actually.
Pardon me?
It makes me more susceptible to the voice.
It makes you more susceptible to the voice because it seems so really real.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's happening to my body.
Right.
To my body. Right. You know. Yeah.
Thank you.
Well, I've been looking at some of similar things, and what I just heard in those two conversations, I just had this this image of, you know, whenever I'm not fully present and in the moment, and I'm anywhere just outside of that, that the stance of I in relation to what's going on is sort of, well, this is not the world I created.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that I is always wanting to create its version of the world.
Mm-hmm.
And when, you know, when I have those moments of not being it and just being in the world, it wants to do anything to bring me back to the world that it wants to create for me.
So it's always pulling you back into the world that it, the I, would like to create.
Yeah.
And yeah. A lot of comparison going on all the time, a lot of...
Yeah, just when I'm not totally present to whatever is. And I've just been seeing the various ways that comes up, and one of it is around time. And I was aware that when I was here at the monastery during September that I didn't have, I amazingly, did, for a month, didn't have stories about what I should be doing instead, because I really didn't have any choice. I mean, you know, I could have been thinking that if I wanted, but, you know, for a whole month, that would have been a really hard story to maintain.
So someone could see that that story wasn't going to go anywhere for the month, that the schedule was set for you, that I didn't have any a choice about what was going to happen at 9 o'clock on Monday.
Yeah. And I just found that so relaxing. Because, you know, I didn't have any voice saying, well, but you should be doing this, or this afternoon you'll have to do this, or gosh, when will there ever be time to do this? I mean, there just was none of that opportunity. And so the first week I was home, I was actually just continuing that, just what's next and what's next. And then I noticed the second week is like, well, yeah, but I have this project, and I don't have any time, and when am I going to do that? And I just see that that's just simply it trying to recreate its world.
So it really had a great backdrop on which to watch it recreate its own world. And going in, having that period of time when you were able to maintain somewhat of a similar schedule to the monastery, and then watching how it just gradually.
Yeah, and you know, it's funny because I'm not doing anything differently. I'm still going about my day doing the next thing and the next thing and the next thing without a whole lot of resistance about that and a whole lot of sense that it could be otherwise. And yet there's this background story about, well, yeah, but when and how come and shouldn't you? And but when I look at what's going on, I see that what's going on is absolutely what's there to go on.
So that, yeah, actually the being is just doing what's there to do and what's in front of what life is presenting. Yeah. But the story is going on constantly. So again, it's just the where do we want to turn our attention?
And I realize that it plays out in other contexts. So it will, another way I often see it come up is, you know, somebody might be talking about something. Well, it often happens when somebody's talking about something really positive and they're really appreciating something or really grateful for something. And if I'm not quite fully there with that, then there'll be the story of, well, yeah, it's not that great, you know. I mean, I don't know what the big deal is about that, you know. And it's the same thing. It's like, well, I don't like that life of gratitude and abundance. I'd rather have you over here and then, you know, and yeah, but it's not so great.
Yeah.
You know, and it's just the same thing. It's just, I don't want you to live there where I'm not the center of your life.
I got this better deal for you. You can have a life of dissatisfaction and grumbling.
Why would you choose that other one, you know? When you could have the comfort and familiarity of suffering.
Right. And that's pretty amazing, isn't it? That it's even, for a moment, enticing.
Exactly.
Alex.
I love this conversation on the alternate reality that doesn't exist. I just so related. So, you know, it comes up for me probably at least once every other session. You know, especially if it's a beautiful day, where when it will be walking and sitting, and it'll be like, wow, I'd rather be doing something else. And I get it. I get it. Why we're sitting and walking. I don't know if it's why we're sitting and walking, but it occurs to me that, wow, I could just be here and enjoy it. Mm-hmm. Or, like other folks have said, I could just be completely miserable and hating it. Mm-hmm. And to be in a situation in which those are my two choices and I am here doing this, it becomes very clear what I'd like to choose.
It becomes clear what it sounds like what the heart would like to choose, you know, and just being with what is present in the moment.
Correct.
It's pretty interesting to talk to us about, I don't want to be walking and sitting, but somehow if you were outside the building walking and sitting, that would
that'd be different.
Yeah, it'd be different.
That would be my idea.
Yeah. I love your
idea. Exactly, yeah. And sometimes I do drive the voice crazy when it starts to get me this angst about, should I do this? This would be my best bet, you know, I want to do that. I'll just sit down, you know. It will be very irritating for a while, you know, just be kind of like this, whoa, running inside, and then all of a sudden it will kind of just die down, and it'll be peaceful, and all of a sudden it will be clearing, and you know, like I can hear a drop fall in the water, and all of a sudden, oh, of course, that's what I would do, you know, and I can just or nothing, or I can just sit there. But anyway, it just feels like, it will just come in with whatever. That's why it seems like, oh, goody and darn are like the biggest, you know, red flags possible, you know, because it's like, ooh, this is the invitation to suffering. You could go one way or the other from this.
So that's a great image of, so when you notice, oh, goody or darn, you can tell that's maybe the beginning of a cycle.
I could choose, you know, it's a choice, because, you know, it's like, oh, goody or oh, darn, it could mean absolutely nothing if I don't, you know, do anything, you know, if I don't go anywhere with it, you know, it's just, well, it wouldn't be my preference, that's what we're doing. You know, that could be one choice, and the other one is, why would I be suffering over it, you know?
But the image of sitting, just sitting still, when you notice that escalating, that,
yeah.
You know, the push, pull, I don't know.
It's just
the storm brewing.
Yes.
And to just let it pass through. And
exactly.
To sit still while it passes through rather than being pulled around and pushed around. And,
and it feels like going along with it reinforces somehow that there's something wrong with the life that I'm living right now. Mm-hmm. It doesn't matter what I choose, you know, if it's a goody or a darn. You know, it's like, there's like a contrast that's happening between where I am right now and what I think I'm going to be going and doing. Like, I just planned a visit to my family, and already it's starting in about, oh boy, you know, oh no. She was rubbing his hand on one side and the other. It's, you know, just, you know, just dejected and miserable. And, and it's like, boy, none of that exists. You know, I have no idea.
Right.
Anything at all about that. But I do know what it's saying about right now. You know, it's saying that, when it means the old goody part, it's like, well, right now I'm living a life of deprivation, and somehow there's something great out there.
Yeah.
And if it's oh darn, you know, it's like, boy, what a, you know, I don't know what it is with oh darn. But just like this kind of dread that's just, you know, seeping into a moment that had to have nothing to do with right now.
Right, exactly. I mean, that's what both of them have to do. It just has nothing to do with what's going on right now.
And just an opportunity to make what's going on right now not so wonderful.
Not so wonderful, not so important, that there's something out there that's going to be either to dread or to look forward to, but, you know, it's not now.
Yes, exactly. And I love that, you know, moment-by-moment assessment that I heard in the phone call. I didn't know this information, you know, a few minutes ago, and now all of a sudden that I do, I have this particular reaction, because I just saw that come up today when I was exercising. It was like, I could lay out a whole series of folks who show up between, you know, the initial idea that I'm going to do this, and then I, you know, getting dressed for it, and then there's that person, and then midway through it's like, oh my God, are you crazy? This is impossible. And then I was like, I know, that always happens. I always have that experience. And then afterwards, it's like, oh, I survived, you know. And then later on, it's like, wow, I'm so glad I did that. And just, it's like, I could, like, literally write out, you know, the script. And I think I just might, so that I can record and listen to that, so that I can hear everything that I'm going to run into as I just go about doing this simple thing. Because, you know, the person who's on the other end of it is not the same person who starts out. That I'm clear about.
Right.
And I often wonder about, you know, just present, laying out the story so that it be clear for everybody involved that, you know, this is all just how, this is just the process.
you know, what came up for me when you were saying that is just almost like what you first described in the beginning, of sitting still while the storm goes through. Mm-hmm. And you're not sitting still in this case. You're, you know, you're exercising, but it's like life moving through you.
Yes.
While you're exercising and the storm is running through.
Exactly. And trying to have a particular effect on me as I'm going through it, because I know what happens. It's like when I get to this particular point, this story just starts coming through. It's just, its only goal is to have some kind of influence at how.
At any of those points along the way, you could say, you could go with it.
Right.
You know, this is too hard. I think I'll just go back to bed.
Or I can know that that's just what will come through as I end up in this particular place. Because it's not a mystery. It keeps happening over and over again. This is not the first time that I made plans to visit my family, and I know that this comes through over and over again. It's like, it's just part of what happens. And whether or not I take the bait is really the deal.
Yeah. Yeah, great process map opportunity.
Thank you.
Ashwin.
So there were three things that I was looking at in the last couple of days, and while we were sitting here, a lot of it dropped in. The first was just waking up today to a tremendous amount of gratitude. Mm-hmm. That it's just a beautiful day, mm-hmm. and the quality of the light and the perfect temperature and the sound of the birds and just the awareness of delight and the recognition that I actually don't feel like this all the time. And what dropped in is how appropriate the feeling was, that somehow that the energy of the environment was creating the energy in the body, mm-hmm. and the harmony was the resonance between the two. And that recognition that if I was truly present to what was arising, in that sense of the environment, that the resonance was the harmonizing with what is, then the sense of harmony wouldn't be different, even if the feeling was different. Mm. So when I'm active and present, that the harmony is still there, even if the quality of it wasn't delight or serenity.
So when you are present, when you're present, the possibility is being in harmony with the environment. And having that, even though it may not be an experience of delight, that whatever is going on, there's still like in being present with it, there's an alignment with life. Or
well, what I saw is how insidious the voice is, that harmony has to feel like I felt this morning, whereas I've had the experience of harmony because there's an alignment with what is. Even though it would say that harmony has to be quiet and meditative, whereas the flow or the sense of being in alignment is actually quite a different experience than the quality that might be the experience of harmony.
Yeah, as you say that, I mean, it just isn't that the root of so much dissatisfaction and suffering for all of us? I mean, this is not the right experience. It should be one of the light and birds singing and beautiful light, and if anything outside of that is not in harmony with, you know, with life, but
and I think that I've often had this experience where the narrative or record is controlled by the voice, that the system controls the narrative. So what I saw is I'm so much more in harmony with what is than I'm led to believe. Because harmony has to look a certain way.
That's exciting.
Yeah, and so it was just that place of such stillness that I could see that harmony is harmonizing, or a state of alignment, not a quality of being, which was a really interesting experience. And it was it's related to what I've been looking at as orientation. So we've been looking in a lot of ways at the practice principles around things. And what I'm looking at is if we're always looking at process and not content, then, you know, a practice principle is a process, but there are so many of those. Mm-hmm. So how do I embody the place that is true center in all cases? And what dropped in for me a couple of months ago when I was working with a guy is that there is a place, an orientation that she represents, yes, and that I could go for the orientation. Yes. And I don't actually have to induce it from the principle of it. So how to embody the process, but not necessarily just the process, but the place from which the process stems, so that the impulse and the movement would be off that place.
Yes.
And so, you know, compassion or abundance or oneness or being helpful, which are all qualities of life, knowing that conditioned mind are all qualities of separation, how does one embody compassion? So watching those places where conditioned mind would result in a process of separation on those streams, how would you embody something else? Because I'm in that place, there can actually be no other response. But if I'm in the place of conditioned mind, the response will be a response of separation. And so just a couple of places where, especially in the stillness of the morning, I was able to see that since I'm in that place of oneness, I could sense the awareness of how I would respond to something from that place, distinct from when I would respond. So kindness through conditioned mind is experientially feels different from a movement from a place of center, where kindness would be not kindness in the dualistic sense, but kindness is the state of being coming from that place. So that just a practice where how do I go to the place in turning the attention to the experience? Can I do that from a place of awareness and not a place of conditioning? Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I'm understanding what you're saying. It's just it looks like you're looking at what is it like to be in that place of center and to come from that place with all the content of life, rather than, you know, what that feels like versus being coming from that place of conditioning. Like, you know, a place of acting from kindness would be different coming from the place of conditioning versus coming from that place of center.
Exactly. There's a nuanced difference there that I was looking at. And then the third one was also related to the conversation here, which I'm starting to call my sine wave theory of energy management.
No, wait, I just got it. Your sine wave theory of energy management.
And it's related to the darts that conditioned mind throws, it seems, that I could be in a state of presence which has a high energy place for a certain sustained period of time. And then I become aware of the little, you know, oh, maybe this, or maybe that. And I might not indulge it, but I'm aware of a sucking of energy. And then the energy drops, keeps dropping, until it reaches the point of identification, and then the identification sticks. And now it requires a tremendous amount of access to a recorder, or a mentor, or beauty, or nature, for the energy to build up again, that the identification doesn't stick and the wave starts up. Uh-huh. And the two things I've noticed is that the more I practice, the longer the curve is, right? So uh-huh. the sine wave is not sparky like this, which is when I started to practice, it would be up and down, uh-huh. or constant, and the amplitude is uh-huh. much more varied.
Yeah.
And now the curve is smooth, uh-huh. right? And then the distance between the crest and there's the trough more. Is becoming mm-hmm. shorter and shorter. Mm-hmm. But it's still there. Like at the point when the energy goes into the lower trough, I notice how much of the positive, of the life energy is required to move it through mm-hmm. to the state of presence again. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's an instant, but it's so much of energy. Mm-hmm. And I have that experience of being stuck in identification and trying and efforting to be in the presence of something that was much, much more in order to get the wave back. Mm-hmm. Wave back. And just interesting to practice with how that is, how to manage that process. Mm-hmm. So that was just something I was watching and playing with.
So watching and playing with that wave, the sine wave?
The sine
and
wave.
And noticing as you practice more, you're a little bit more in the up.
I can sustain it for longer periods of time.
Sustain the up portion of the wave, I don't know.
So instead of it being a wave,
yeah.
is it possible to maintain the energy level?
Yeah.
And the way in which conditioned mind doesn't allow for that sustained maintenance of energy level is those darts. And then the moment there's enough of those darts that I have indulged in, then it dips
right.
into an identification.
Yeah, as you were saying that, I was seeing that, you know, the darts, even though we don't, like, maybe engage in them, it's still an energy suck just to even notice the darts that are...
That's right, and it's that noticing of it in a little bit of attention.
Yep. Exactly.
There's just some amount of energy that leaves.
Exactly. There's a little leak that
there's
happens
a leak.
Every
exactly.
time that, you know, yeah. like, oh, there's that, oh, you know. And then
enough
and then,
of those, and there's right. a, the, and then I can feel
yeah.
that.
Yeah, so.
Thank you.
Two things that came up when Ashwini was talking. One was... What I was noticing yesterday, we had this great experience yesterday of hiking out in the beautiful world, and there were several places where I was aware, and this has happened lately, of stories at the ready.
Stories.
Anytime I would choose to just slip uh-huh. into them. And I think one of the things that has happened through practice is that I recognize them. They have become flags rather than an instant identification. But just how there is that decision point that's been pointed to this morning of, boy, you know, a 1 degree turn to the right or the left makes all the difference mm-hmm. in the whole quality of my day in terms of that energy suck or that mm-hmm. who gets the energy. And so just that, more and more, partly the advantage is that I think through practice we become more familiar with the stories, because there are certain standard stories, just a little storybook. And secondly, kind of the quality of the stories, the sort of conditioning style. Mm-hmm. So we're in a better position to see it. But just how available they are all the time. It's sort of a form of the darts, you know, just that they're right there.
Mm, just seeing how at the ready those stories are, just, you know,
yep.
waiting for your agreement. Yeah,
yep.
to go along with them.
Yeah, and even just that, oh, there it is again, uh-huh. is, you know, is turning my attention
exactly.
into it.
Exactly.
So, and the other thing that just occurred to me when we were talking about the rise and fall of energy was, you know, if I really get sucked in, it is hard to get out. But what I just saw was one of the fastest recharges of energy is laughter.
Laughter.
And I just thought about how often, especially I have to say with the guy, we just burst into laughter.
Yes.
And laughter is a great recharge of energy
yes.
in the moment.
Yes.
And conditioning would tell me that the way to get out of conditioning is to crawl out, you know, this painful
ladder,
a long period
yeah.
of time, gradually getting
yeah.
a bit more energy at a time. But
yeah.
what I was just saying is that the more I can get how absurd it is, or the times I can all of a sudden just start to laugh, it feels like almost all the energy is available almost instantly.
Yes,
laughter is just one of the best energy rebuilders.
Yeah.
And yeah.
And what occurs to me as you say that is that it's partly that conditioning is serious. And if I'm laughing, I am really not there anymore.
Yeah.
Whereas I'm not working my way out, yeah. I am out.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's great. Yeah, you're not working your way out. Mm-hmm. You're out if you're laughing. I mean, there's just no, I mean, kind of you're laughing or you're not laughing. You know.
Yeah.
And I know that sometimes I can hear a lot from conditioning about, you know, well, that's a good laugh, that's a bad laugh. You know how it just wants to comment on the laughter? It's just crazy. And to, it's a great thing to practice as well.
I was looking at, as people were talking, that two things. One, the way I work with those energy things is I welcome it in, so I move into it. Oh, there you are again. Uh-huh. Especially when I'm in a dip. Uh-huh. Because when I'm starting to play with it, when I'm not, because there's something that conditioned mind does to my dips where it gets attached to one side of the other. And so one of the things, anyway, the image that came to me, I totally remember this. This was when I was living at the monastery, there was a retreat, and I wasn't even on the retreat. But I got to come in on the end of the retreat and do this guided imagery. And there was, I don't even know what the guided imagery was about, but what I remember about it was that I had this physical experience in the imagery of walking along past all my little people, all my little aspects of my personality, and that I didn't attend to them, that I trusted that if I just walked along in the breath, that they were going to be attended to. Because sometimes for me, conditioned mind or whatever can take one of them and use it to pull me out of the moment. And so I was just walking along, breathing. And as somebody was, I guess it was actually, I remember the first time that I was walking along on the property. It was after the TINW retreat, and I had been living here. So yeah, I mean, I'm living here and TINW, and I'm walking along, and I'm like, oh my gosh, it's gone. You know, the self-hate's gone. And I was just enjoying, you know, just feeling the sun, and I kept walking, I kept thinking it's going to come back, and, you know, I cannot walk along this far. I mean, I was taking kind of a long walk. It was like free morning or whatever. And I'm like, it's gone. Okay, if I can just keep walking along, breathing, I'll see it. You know, I'll see. It lasted a whole week, and I remember in guidance with Phil, I was telling her, okay, it's been 5 days. You know, no self-hate for 5 days. And she knew exactly what I was talking about. And there was some guidance about, now just enjoy it, but don't get too attached. I remember that tricky place. Mm-hmm. With, and then the other thing just that I do is the whole Zen thing, you know, welcoming in for tea. Oh, hello. You know, you who wishes I was at a different energy level. You know? Come on in, tell me the story. You know, and it will usually if I have that attitude. But if I'm like, quit throwing darts, you know, if I start getting that like oppositional stance to it, you know, it just, there we are in that duality. Mm-hmm. So it was fun to watch. As people were talking.
Yeah, so just watching how when you notice your place at the maybe the lower point of the wave, mm-hmm. that to just go into it with some acceptance, it sounds like, rather than from a place of opposition.
Mm-hmm. Acceptance and welcome.
And welcome.
Because there's such a strong part of me who wants to feel a certain, you know, as people pointing at, mm-hmm. wants to feel a certain way, which of course keeps me in the, mm-hmm. rather than the wavy part, mm-hmm. but, yeah.
So being attached, there's some part of you that's attached to being, feeling a certain way, and this welcoming states, other than the way you might wish to be on as a way for you to...
And the second part of it is trust. That's my new word lately, since the retreat, is trusting. This is it. You know, it goes back to that sitting still thing, you know, like mantra. This is it. This is it. Move into it.
Yes.
Don't figure it out. Don't examine it. Don't try to get rid of it. This is it. This is God right here. This whole thing. And as soon as I forget that, and it's so, just like someone's pointing out about sesshin, I had my own little sesshin this week because I was alone as a parent and Andrew got stuck in Brazil for an extra day. And so, you know, this is it. I can either resist or not. I can really believe this is it. And I can do the next thing and see what arises in the moment and welcome it all in, including the, not beating myself up for having that one more day, I'm exhausted. Is that so? Got to do the dishes. Nobody else here to do them.
And as we've been talking about this morning, I mean, this is it. And and to be in that place of this is it and welcoming all that presents itself is, you know, other than that, we're back in, there's another reality that's,
And as I saw, just what Swanee was pointing at was that if I'm there, then when it's this beautiful morning, it goes in.
It's a beautiful morning. Yes.
If I'm not, I miss it. It's like, the sun's shining, that old thing that can happen to us. But if we're there and this is it, then oh my gosh.
Absolutely. Thank you.
One little thing. I had a little recording listening breakthrough this week that I'm really excited about. Actually, just the past couple days. We had a conversation on Thursday about using the recorder at night.
Yes.
And I've been experimenting with that and having a little bit of trouble because I really light sleeper and my recordings have stuff like traffic noise and dogs barking. And I'm often doing things when I'm recording, and so I've got clang, brush, swish, so it was challenging. So
not conducive to sound sleep.
It's not like a lullaby. So I'm going to make, and I don't know if it'll work anyway, because I'm really like sleeper, but I really want for it to. And I'm going to make, and I have been already, some recordings that are just reassurances that are very, quiet and simple. Because I think that's really, I don't want to hear about all these issues that are going on. I just want somebody to tell me that they love me and that I'm okay and I'm safe and all those things. But while that was going on, so that kind of put my attention on the recorder and the, I have a lot of sleep issues and there's this thing that happens, which I've talked about ad nauseum, right as I wake up in the morning where conditioning kind of inserts this thing and it makes me have really bad headaches. And it does other things too, that just are unhappy things. And I had a headache, was it two or three days ago when that happened? And but then what I realized, what I decided I wanted to do was to try to make, what happens is there's this, I wake up, and then there's this groggy thing where I'm not completely here yet, and in fact, it's in that space. That's where it sticks the thing in. And so I was like, well, when I wake up in the morning, I'm going to just immediately grab my recorder and turn it off. And that might give me a place for my attention to be. So I tried that. This was 2 days ago, and it was all that same, those issues and everything, and it really didn't work. So I just grabbed it, and I just started saying reassurances. And they're real simple. Thing, just the mentor, just really, like the really simple things. And it was really neat because it pulled me, just pulled me out of that groggy space over maybe, it wasn't very long, like a minute or a minute and a half, into a place of kind of full wakefulness. And because it's active, listening to it, I can still be going, but because I have to speak it very quickly just pulled me out. And I have, that was actually yesterday, now that I think about it. I had the best day yesterday that I had in a really, really long time because my energy was moving and it wasn't blocked up in the way it often is. And I tried again this morning. I was up a lot in the night, so I'm still kind of got this weird thing sort of going on. But it's the same thing. It just pulls me out of this. It's really a, I just feel like I'm in, just being victimized by, mm-hmm. I don't know if that's the right way to say it, but by self-hate. You know, I'm in a relationship with conditioning, like I'm a small person and it's there and I don't have the wherewithal. Like I'm not standing on my feet, mm-hmm. and I don't have the wherewithal to really address that or to, you know, I don't even know what's going on because it's all still rocky. Mm-hmm. But as soon as it's like it hit the record button and I have to move that out of place. And I did the same thing this morning. Just pretty soon I was like, okay, I'm ready to get up. And anyway, I'm just really excited about the possibility in that.
Yeah, you know, you're describing that, like being in a very vulnerable place in the morning and a time when conditioning, you're really vulnerable, it sounds like, to conditioning. And grabbing the recorder sounds like it puts you in a place of a power. You know, you're the person taking the action rather than being open to.
That's a nice way to say it. Yeah. In terms of the energy, too, that people were talking about, it's just like it opens the aperture.
Yeah.
Feels like, and the energy starts to pour in. And I think before that, the aperture is on the other side and the energy is pouring out. Mm-hmm. I mean, because that's how it feels after it's over. It's like, oh, geez, I feel like I've got to survive. Yeah. I'll just kind of wobble through the day. And usually, over the course of the day, the energy comes back because I'm bringing my attention here. And like I was saying before, you know, it's like there's, you know, I'm moving, aligning myself with the energy, but it just gets depleted first thing in the morning.
Yeah. What's interesting to me is that point at which you pick up the recorder. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if you could say a little bit about how that happens. I mean, you know, that's a choice point, it seems, mm-hmm. that would be very easy to miss.
Yeah, it's true. Well, I mean, I know what will happen with this. The same thing happens with everything. It's right now, conditioning is a little startled by the whole thing.
Yeah.
But pretty soon, it's going to find a way to kind of get the wedge in there.
Yeah.
But for right now, it's just I just decided that's what I want to do. Not in the morning, because that's impossible.
Okay.
But,
yeah, that's
the night before. It's like, you know, I think that would be really helpful. And I'm inspired by this recording at night thing, and I'm just really going to do that. And I'm real familiar with how I wake up. It's like, I'm just like, and then I look at my watch, and what, you know, that's it. It's like, oh, so I go, okay, I think I'm awake. What time is it? Oh yeah, it's time to get up. Where's the recorder? Mm-hmm. You know, so just immediately over there before all the fuzzy kind of stuff starts happening.
So making a commitment the night before and making sure your recorder's close at hand, it sounds like.
Yeah, and remembering that. And right now it's pretty easy, but you know, it'll be a fight again at some point. But it's neat when something like that works on a really
high
level.
Yeah.
It's interesting too, because it's just this little piece of time. So I wake up in the middle of the night. I wake up very light sleeper. I wake up like six or eight times in the night every night. I mean, wake and then go back to sleep pretty quickly. But you know, I'm happy. Mm-hmm. You know, I wake up and I have a practice that I've been doing for years of, you know, saying reassurances to myself as I'm going to use facilities or whatever. You know, I love you, I'm here with you, everything's okay, and all those kind of mm-hmm. things, and I go back to sleep. But then right at the very end, mm-hmm. there's this thing that happens. And it's just fun to have a tool to assist me with that.
Yeah, that's great. Thanks.
So I had another cool experience yesterday, and it was just this moment of awareness of how practice works, meaning that it works, because the person that I experienced myself being in that moment was not the person that was there a year and a half ago when I first came to practice. And it was just startling to realize how the transformation had happened.
So you realized how that transformation had
happened? That I wasn't aware that the transformation was happening. I mean, I just practice and practice and practice.
Right.
And then suddenly to wake up to go,
almost, who is this person? Because, I mean, I as a two, I have a karma of doing and doing and doing and doing and doing, and then when I encounter something that that I feel resentful over or resist, it goes underground. And usually it keeps building, and then I'm out of the situation. So I was never allowed to express what was going on for me. And just to realize...
It would just build, and then you would just exit.
The only way is I have to get out.
Yeah. Okay.
And that's my only exit line. And it would be unhappy and more unhappy and more unhappy. And I just recognized, wow, I actually don't do that anymore. And just that intense moment of gratitude, that if someone had told me a year and a half ago that I would be a different person, I wouldn't have believed it. But the wearing away of the identity that happens no matter what, in the process of it, was just once more that moment of awareness and of gratitude that the identity wears away with repeated reinforcement of something other than that.
Yeah, as you're saying that, I mean, with the repeated reinforcement of what's authentic in us and that which isn't needed, you know, and actually it sounds like the gratitude arose because that was a process that caused a great deal of suffering in your life, it sounds like.
Yeah.
And to see that it had actually...
ceased to exist in that specific way. Not that there weren't other processes that are still have to be worked on, but in some senses that identity had completely just disintegrated. Mm-hmm. And it brings me to the orientation place that I was looking at. I was reading somewhere, so if I can resonate with the wisdom that's being pointed at or the compassion that I witness, then the projection implies that I am the compassion or I wouldn't be able to recognize it and resonate with it. But the process of the identity disintegration is really the process of wearing away the lack of recognition of already being in that place. Right? Yeah. And so it's not that we're all not the intelligence that animates, but because of whatever is between the ignorance of whatever exists between that place and the perception of that place. So I can recognize compassion, but I don't feel like I am all the time.
Yeah.
But when the identity of not being the compassion wears away, there's a startling recognition that I am in that place. And so it was just cool to recognize that it's the self, it's the awareness recognizing awareness, the bodhi, the joy of intelligence knowing itself, that we can experience practicing when the identity disintegrates. And so the journey is back to the it's like going around the circle. Like I recognize it, and then I'm back in that place, and all it requires is for that crust of ignorance to drop. And I had one of those moments where like, I'm actually not suffering over that anymore because that person is not there.
Yeah, and actually never actually left that place.
That's right.
But just didn't have the opportunity to notice that because...
The behavior change led to the consciousness change as a consequence of which the resulting behavior comes from the place of consciousness.
Resulting behavior comes from the place of consciousness.
So if I my behavior was resenting because I did not express and therefore suffering, the fact that I express causes the identity to disappear and therefore all that is there is expression.
Uh-huh.
And then there's a recognition that I am the person who life is expressing through. And so I'm in the place of expression, not the place of being the person who cannot express. And so it was just a cool moment.